CliffCentral.com.
I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald, and this is the leader interview section of the Leadership Masterclass. The first half hour we spoke, and it's on a podcast, about inspiring outwardly. How when things are tough, and it's going to get tougher and rougher in and more difficult in South Africa, we tend to go inward rather than inspire outward. And we posed a challenge to corporates and to individuals out there to share an inspirational message, send it to info@leadershipplatform.com, and if we love it and like it and we think it can make a difference in the world, we will share it with the world. But listen to that podcast and you'll get the gist of it. All right, but now we want to zoom in a little bit more on Zwandile Simelane from Citizens ZA Movement, and then a little later we'll bring in Beverly Davids, founder of Chauncey Epic Anti-Bullying Campaign. Why do I have them on? I sent a tweet out last week and said to South Africans, listen, tell me, who are the authentic leaders out there? Need not be super famous or anything, but which leaders stand out for you, that they are real, they're authentic, and we need more of them in this world. Of course, people like Thuli Madonsela also came up, and we've had her on the platform a few times. And I said, come on, we don't just looking for well-known politicians or civil servants or corporate leaders. We're looking for ordinary citizens that are making a difference out there. And amidst all this conversation came up Zwandile's name, Simelane, and I contacted him. And we also contacted Beverly Davids, and there's some others that we'll bring in. We want to put ordinary citizens, some of them become extraordinary, but just individuals like you and I who are touchable and who really make a difference. So let's chat to Zwandile for a few minutes, and then we'll bring in Beverly Davids on my queue. We'll bring her in as well from Cape Town on Skype. Citizens ZA
Movement.
I know I sat with Bobby Gottsall a few years ago. He mentioned something that was starting to happen, and it was probably in the beginning stages then. I thought, great, and I didn't hear much in, you know, since then. On and off I did. I've seen it on Twitter.
Yes.
But here you are, sitting in front of us, dynamic, current, future leader. What does this movement do? Tell us about it. Tell us about the birth of it. Let's just engage a few minutes.
First and foremost, the organization is a non-profit organization, which means not political in any way, registered as a non-profit company, which stands for active citizenship in society. One of the principles that we may borrow from the United States, when the quote stated that, do not ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country, from JF Kennedy. So now, when we decided to form this movement, it is exactly to equip citizens with skills of active citizenship. To say that, grab the bull by the horns, it is up to you how you want to live in your own country. I mean, even in a family, if you take the example to just a small family, the father maybe as the leader and the mother in the family will decide the standard of living in the home. But the kids will also determine their own standard of living when they get out of the home. So at the end of the day, the country belongs to us equally and undivided. So with the citizens movement, we are hoping to inspire that change, to say that to citizens, sweep in front of your street. If Adrian sweeps in front of his yard, I sweep in front of my yard, Louis sweeps in front of his yard, we stay in the same street. Eventually the whole street becomes clean without us having pointed fingers at government or anyone else to do things for us.
Yeah, that is just so simple, isn't it? But to get us all to do that, because we're all inward, we're all struggling to make a living, to things are getting tighter, tougher, you know, there's more stress and strain, and then it's often difficult to sweep in front of my street. I'll just clean my yard. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to clean in front of my street even. Yeah. Someone else must do that. But to get us to do that, that is the trick. Your background, you studied law. Tell us how you ended up here. How did you end up with this non-profit? I mean, obviously you can be out there in corporate, you're dynamic, you have a good qualification, you could be earning a lot in a law firm. Yeah, you could be doing a lot of things, of course. But here you are, spending all your time, yes, running this Citizen ZA movement. How did you end up here?
Look, after I finished my studies,
Which was law?
Yes, LLB from the University of the Free State.
Okay, Nochal, yeah?
Yeah, 2010.
Yes.
Graduate from Kofsis. So graduated from there, did articles for 2 years. I practiced for a year, actually, for a full 12 months. And I figured the profession was very lovely, wearing a robe every morning to court, going in and out and practicing law, like applying the theory that I had learned. Very exciting, but I thought, no, this thing should wait. I think I'm going to hang the robe. I'm going to be flexible. My one is to help humanity without the material gains, which most lawyers are after anyways. It was back in the day that if you needed to study this profession, you're studying it for the cash. And,
yeah,
and that's then not for the passion for most people. So I decided to demystify that and say, you know what, I work with people. I'm already working with people in and out of courts or in the office trying to help them. But there are deeper means and ways to actually help people than me actually charging them for that service.
Mm.
Yeah. All then right. I ventured into where when I left Durban and KZN and I came here to Johannesburg, then I started working for Teba Limited for I think about a year. And then after a year, I met James and Bobby. James is still the chairman of Teba Limited, which is a mine recruitment company. And he then recruited me to this project in 2013. Yeah.
Okay. So how did that happen? Did they sit you down and... So you've been involved since the inception?
Since conception.
Since conception, okay. And what appealed to you? How did they sell it to you? Tell us about that engagement.
No, look, they told me they have a project for the young man. And I said, okay, any challenge is accepted on my side. I mean, I'm a very enthusiastic person. They told me they're starting an organization. They'd written a little book that I brought for you, which is Do It.
Do It.
Every yeah. Citizen's Guide to Making a Difference. So out of that book, most people, as you said, are busy. They've got gym. They have families. They have love lives. When will they get time to read a book? So we need a living organization. And we are the ones who have come out and are living the principles and are examples in society of what it means to be an active citizen, even from their story, when they started to unpack their history together of how they were adversaries in the mining industry. One, Bobby Gotso leading the corporates and Dr. James Mutlatsi leading the unions on how they could have destroyed the mining industry. In fact, in one of the biggest strikes in 1987 in the mining industry, which still is even now in terms of numbers and stuff like that. And one of the biggest dismissals as well happened under Bobby Gotso, where he dismissed 50,000 employees, including James himself, at that great mining strike. So if you look at things like that and other stories which are contained in the book, such as when they worked together to have a national funeral in 1993 to become a success when Chris Hani was assassinated. The individuals who were working behind in the background were Bobby Gotso and Dr. James Mutlatsi. James leading the funeral committee, having been appointed by the former late Nelson Mandela, who was the state president.
So that in itself is a wonderful story. So we say the founders of
yes,
the organization.
The founders, yes.
You're a co-founder, but they approached you and they said, we want young blood in you,
yes,
dynamic passion, yes, energy. Well, that's a fantastic story. We should dig into that, have them on here as well and talk a little bit. That's a great leadership story, Louis, isn't it? Of these two gentlemen who actually were, in brackets, enemies,
yes,
but they've worked together. We've seen examples of that in our history, but it failed, some of them, you know.
This one is the best one.
This is a very successful one.
Yes.
All right. So in essence, Citizen ZA movement is to help us become more active citizens, is to empower us to become, is to educate us to become... Or how would you capture it a little bit better?
Look, this movement is a progressive organization, and we work with people. We are saying wherever you are in a natural community, for instance, there's a board of about 7 directors. I am the company secretary, as well as the national general secretary of the organization, meaning I'm the chief administrator in terms of forming branches, organizational structures, running basically the whole unit of the organization. So in terms of that, there are strategies in place which come from a board, and then there's also a council of patrons of about 150 prominent South Africans, whereby the deputy president is a member, Helen Ziller, premier of Western Cape, is a member, the VCs of vice chancellors of other universities, such as Jonathan Janssen from Free State, former VC, that side is part of it, Dr. Max Price, Adam Habib at Wits. We are saying when we come into a room, we leave our politics, leave our religion, we come to talk active citizenship. And that is how we can grow our country. Because here, this is an organization of solutions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Excellent. How has it grown? It's been going for about 3 years?
It's grown. When I came, we had a membership of 150, which was the launch. Today we have about 5,000, and it's about the quality rather than quantity of citizens who are saying that, you know what, in our community, I live in Alex, and there's so much crime. I cannot point fingers at the police every time. Let us form a community policing forum and do crime prevention, because that is one of our themes at Citizens at A, where we're saying people must get together for 4 hours a month, whether be it 1 hour each Saturday, or 4 hours, which is just done at once, and become more active and just know your community, know your neighbors. Let's not be zombies who are walking around in a country full of opportunities, and we let the opportunities pass us.
Okay, so there's a practical thing that would be expected as you become.
Yes.
And as you say, this is not about getting a million people necessarily. This is about quality. One active citizen impacts thousands of people potentially, or hundreds, or
dozens.
It takes
a few people to change the world, Margaret Mead, yes.
Yeah, and that's the essence of what you're doing.
Yes.
It can't be easy. Do you have down days? Do you have days where you say, boy, our citizens are just not getting it, man? Do you? I'm sure you woke up most days excited and ready for the day, but it can, it must be difficult, because you are, the resistance that you'll get would not necessarily be people not wanting to do something. They want to, and they want the country to be a better place, but life is just so demanding. I don't have time, you know, not me necessarily, but we don't have time to become active citizens. Just being good at your job is asking a lot already, because a lot of people have to carry 2-3 jobs. Things are tight in businesses. So it must be frustrating sometimes to not have people catch the vision.
Now, look, in terms of the vision, it's a very transparent one, and we want this country to be a better place for all. And we are saying it belongs to all those who live in it, such as the Constitution. We have a charter in place, and universally we have been applauded. I think the applause are non-negotiable. We have that. But now when it comes to the action, that's the most difficult part now, getting people to do things together, because now that will build South Africa. It will encourage the patriotism that we need. Some other people, since the dawn of democracy, have not bought into this new South Africa. They don't know whether they are coming or they are going out of South Africa. And when you get to countries like the US, you have got the flag waving on a higher scale. Here we'll only have pride for our country when there's a soccer World Cup,
yeah,
or a funeral of Mandela, or something that touches us all. And this country touches us all on a daily basis. Some people have to take 3 taxis to work, and what is the employer saying about that? Because those taxis, they're actually the transport in a company, whereby if you're an employee and you have to now take 3 taxis to work, your work interest even deteriorates, because now you have to, the transport system in our country is not even working. When it comes to information, our company is transparent, whereby do you tell your workers, if let's say on a mine, Sibanye is sponsoring your show, do they tell the rock drillers underground how many holes they must dig, and what would be the output of production when they dig, when they drill so many holes in a day? Or do they just come to the table at wage negotiations, and then that's when tempers fly and say, you know what, we want 12.5, but now why are you getting this amount for so many holes drilled in a day? What are you contributing to the larger economy of South Africa?
Yeah. Okay. All right, gentlemen, let's bring an active citizen on board now that was also suggested to me via Twitter.
Yes.
And she may not be a member, shall we say, of your organization. Just put your earphones on there, Louis. Let's quickly bring her in. And let's just get her story, and then we bring it back to your vision. Shall we do that? Because I think that this is potentially an example of it, and maybe we've just won you another member. Let's get her enrolled into active citizens. Beverly Davids from Cape Town, welcome.
Good afternoon, guys, and thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us on Skype all the way from Cape Town. In the studio, Louis Groenewald, and then Zondile Simelane from Citizen ZA Movement, all about inspiring, getting us all to get actively involved, inspiring us all to get actively involved, such as what I think you're doing, Beverly. So just for a minute or five, tell us your story. What do you do?
Okay, so I'm Beverly Davids, and I'm the founder of Chance's Epic Anti-Bullying Campaign. And so what we do, I've got a partner in Durban, Sandile Shumango, and so what we do is we try and go out to as many schools as possible, churches, sports groups, you name it, and we try and spread awareness on bullying because of what we've been through. So yeah, on my side, it's mother speaking, speaking up against bullying and through what our son, our late son Chauncey had experienced in 2012. And your son dear, my partner from Durban, he was bullied, so yeah, he was a victim of bullying. So yeah, we do what we can in our communities and in South Africa to sort of bring down the rate of bullying and to cut out the teenage killing and suicide. Yeah, so just, yeah, suicide as well.
So let's look in a moment how big the bullying thing is and why you got actively involved. I'm sure you have to tell the story a lot. You mentioned your son's experience. Just tell us a little bit about that. That is important for the background and why you drive this so hard.
Okay, I've got two kids, right? Chauncey and Beyonce. And in 2012, Chauncey was bullied badly. And when I say badly, I'm talking about taking your child to the doctor twice in 1 month, because that is how bad the beatings were. And it was reported to the teacher, it was reported to the principal. I myself handed in the doctor's reports to the principal. The principal didn't know where to go, what to do, or how to help Chauncey. So he referred me to a police station here in which was slain. I went to the police station, got the report to them. At the time, they couldn't do anything about it because the bullies were minors. I was then referred to our district's office, which I actually I went to see our director of education, Mr. Sal. And at that point in 2012, none of these very well-educated people knew how to help this 12-year-old boy. And no one knew how to stop it. But what was so disappointing for me is that I was called in by the psychologist of Western Cape Education Department. I was sat down and I was told that if I keep my child home for longer than 2 days, he will be registered from the role, so he will have to repeat the year. And for me, that just didn't make sense because Chauncey was a top achiever in his grade. He's being beaten up at school daily. No one knows how to stop a thing. And as a mother, I'm told in a meeting that I've got to send him back into school every day. He must take the beatings until someone, an adult, figures out something.
Man, that would just, I would lose it. I would just lose it.
I came very, very close to losing it. I promise you, lots of things, blood, sweat, and tears. I was angry. And then I just did what a mother would do. I took my child out of school. I took him out of school. Okay. And yeah, he was at home for about 2 months. We took him in for his final exams. He wrote it. He was in grade 7 at the time. Passed top achiever that year, and he went off to high school.
Okay, and then what happened to your son?
Okay, then in 2014, the 29th of May was Ascension Day, right? So all the kids were at home. Chauncey came home. That was my first day. Chauncey came home the Wednesday prior to that with this light and spray can experiment that we all tried somewhere in our lives. And Chauncey came home with this thing, and he wanted to try it. I reprimanded. Daddy came home from work. We tried his luck with Daddy. Daddy reprimanded. And the next day was a school holiday. He had to do his duties like any other boy should have at home. So he was supposed, it was your duty to leave the first day. And we had a granny flat in our yard, in our backyard. It was basically a storeroom. And he went into the storeroom. He attempted the wolf experiment. And it exploded on him. It backfired, exploded on him, and he died instantly.
Sure.
But that was on the 29th of May. And on the 30th of May, the very next day, so now we're sitting in the house, we lost our son, we're trying to make sense of this, and we've got a plan of funeral, and, you know, nothing is real to you at that point in your mind and in your life. Nothing makes sense. And one of his friends comes, and she says, Auntie B, do me a favor, please don't buy the August today. And I ask her, why not? And she says, don't buy it. And I actually asked someone to go out and buy me a copy. And on the front page, there was this, when he was accused of stealing magnesium from the school. And with that happening and us not even being interviewed about it, head of SAT and head of education in our area had to go out to the school. The principal had to take them to the lab to show that the magnesium that the school received for the year from the department is still right there. The very same newspaper didn't come back and clear up my child's name. And this is at the point where we've got to arrange his funeral. And so I believe if bullying is allowed from age 3, because that is the age that normally starts. It starts as young as age 3. It's allowed through primary school and through high school. You're going to take it into adulthood. and you will do this type of thing to other people and not even think twice about it.
Yeah, I mean, you have politicians who are bullies. You've got corporate CEOs that are bullies, you know, parents that are bullies. That sort of bullying thing, I guess, it's a certain style that's become part and parcel of our culture. But you've now decided to take his legacy forward and to address bullying in schools. How do you do that? Do you visit as many schools, but what do you do at the school?
Okay, so basically when we go into the school, we do educate kids on how many counts before we say it's bullying, who the three most important people are, in our opinion, that should know if bullying takes place at school. And I believe the teacher should know, because you cannot hold the teacher or principal responsible if they're not informed about the situation in their school. And in my opinion, the third most important person that should know is mom, dad, grandma, whoever you're living with at home. They should know. So we tell kids about that, how many counts. Because we don't want kids running to the teacher all the time for everything that happens to them at school. And then there's a color games bullying, because our third year that we're doing Anti-Bullying Awareness Month. And that is actually October. So this is our third year that we are spending awareness hectically, like really, really busy in October. And we tell Chance's story, and we tell them also, we sort of do it by a slideshow, where we show pictures of Chancey, and we show his reports of bullying in 2012, and how brave he was to stand up and say, look, this happened to me, and how we had to fight to fix things for Chancey. Mm-hmm. That victims of bullying don't think that there's no one actually to turn it to. I am okay. Friends with a mom, not too far from us, also in Cape Town, on 15 September 2015. Her 17-year-old daughter hung herself, Shanae Roberts, because of bullying. Her mom did exactly what I did when my child was bullied. Only difference is she never took her child out of school and pushed her child overboard, and that child is no more.
We had a very interesting guy on the show a few months ago, Gordon Cooper, talking about bullying, and he's got this amazing approach as well, and maybe I should get the link to that podcast to you. Maybe you can connect with him even. He's very dynamic. It's brilliant what he's also doing and how to help kids and families to overcome this bullying situation. So there might be some cause for collaboration there. But gentlemen, your thoughts on this woman, Beverly Davids, founder of Chauncey's epic anti-bullying campaign, becoming actively involved to try and turn around a scourge, an ugly thing that's happening in our schools. And I'm sure she'll tell us there's a heck of a lot of that happening, because she's in the middle of it. Zondile and Louis, your comments. Maybe talk to her, ask her questions, your comments on what she's doing. Is this what we want? We want people to get actively involved.
Yes, down with bullying, down. You are having a good
Absolutely.
Initiative. And we may support it in the future. And I think on my side, we need to meet when we do come down that side in order for us to see how we can help as well.
Absolutely. That would be great.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Excuse to get to Cape Town, eh? Louis?
Oh, just from an essence point of view, the difference between the attitude that our guest here has been speaking about, this proactive citizenry, and then the other attitude that this is the school, the government, etc., must fix the problem. And what she's doing, Beverly, what you're doing is you represent that side, say, come on, we can do something about it. And it has a tremendous impact on its own understanding and love of life if you are proactive, instead of having a blame mentality all the time. So we appreciate the example you are, Beverly.
Yes.
Beverly, what do you hope to achieve? Firstly, how big is the problem? And then what do you hope to achieve in the next few years with this active project?
For me, it's absolutely huge, because, look, we started this campaign the year Chauncey passed. Actually, the detective on his passing, when she found out about this bullying and what we had to go through, she told my husband, I will not leave your wife alone until she actually does something about this. But what people don't know is, while Chauncey was still alive, after his bullying saga, people had actually just come to our house and read about it in our local newspaper, and we assisted as many people as we could. So now we're doing it publicly. So now it's all over social media, and it's interviews like the one we're doing right now. And we are then invited and requested by communities, by schools, by churches to come out. We have tried everything in our power to set up meetings with our education department. We were basically shut down earlier this year in a meeting by them. They didn't feel what we do is necessary nor needed because they've got everything under control. And myself and my husband, this is a promise that we made to our late son, and we have seen the difference. We have been in schools in and around Cape Town. We've been as far as Oudtshoorn, Mossel Bay. We've been as far as Durban. And we're doing it on our own. God carries us every time we need to get out there. We are not going to stop. Bullying was always there. I'm sure it will always be there. It will always be part of our lives. But if I think back 20, 30 years ago when I was in school, yes, it was there. But no child committed suicide. No child felt that bad that they wanted to end their own life. And if I think of a child like Charlene Roberts that died because of bullying, in my opinion, as a mother, this shouldn't happen to another child. And I will do with my family whatever it is that I can do to stop it for whatever child, wherever in South Africa. We will get the money together the way we have been in the past 2 years. We will get out to the victims of bullying and the bullies as well. And we will help as many as we can.
All right, your contact details. Anyone, there might be one person listening that can make a massive difference. They get hold of you where and how?
Okay, I'm on Facebook. It's Chances Epic Anti-Bullying Club. And on Twitter, Chances Epic A1. And then my number is public, so that is 073-557-8849.
Just maybe a last message, and then we'll spend the last few minutes here with Ms. Wandile from Citizen ZA Movement, just to wrap it up. And how do I know? Are there signs that I know my child is a bully, and also my child is being bullied? How can I, as a parent, help? How do I know? I know it's not perfect science, but just give us a tip or two.
Okay, there's telltale signs. Like in our case, Chancey never went aggressive. He stayed that calm, sweet child that he was, but he had this thing at night when he stayed, like, sort of constantly, sort of clear his throat all the time. He was more nervous, also he bit his nails all the time. And what was a big red flag for us as a family is Chancey wanting nothing else but peanut butter on his way to school. No casual money, no juice, no fruit, no luxuries, you name it. He didn't want any of that.
Oh, interesting.
And for me, yeah, there's things she, and for me, it's so important. We are a community here in South Africa. And yes, like the rest of the world, we want the pretty car, we want that big screen TV. And so, yeah, kids come and they want to speak to us, and we just don't make enough time for our children. Mm. So for me, that is very, very important, that we listen to our kids, that we believe in them, and that we trust them. Mm.
Thank you so much for your message, Beverly Davids, founder of Chancey's Epic Anti-Bullying Campaign. Hope anyone can help, and we appreciate your time and being an active citizen.
Thank you, Beverly.
All the best.
Okay. Can I just ask that the listeners out there, it's Anti-Bullying Awareness Month. It's now the second one that we spreading awareness in South Africa. So just wear something purple to show your support. And that is to show that you stand against bullying for the month of October.
Okay, so we're purple. We're all looking, and none of us have purple on yet. Oh, except our engineer.
Most men are color blind.
Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, I'm Zondile Simelane from Citizen ZA Movement, all about active citizenry. Started 3+ years ago. Founders James Mulatsi and Bobby Gotzel. And they were opposing forces in a corporate environment, shall we say, from the union and then the mining environment years ago. But here they are collaborating, working together on a vision. They've pulled in our special guest today, Ms. Wandile Simelane, as a young, dynamic lawyer. And he's driving it as the general secretary. There's lots of examples like this. Maybe you have one or two examples that inspires me and the audience in terms of how people took this active citizen vision and ran with it and made a difference. Maybe share one or two inspirational stories with us, and then let's start talking about your vision. What does the ideal active citizenry vision look like 5-10 years from now? What are we hoping for? Is the momentum fast enough? Because we know the negative momentum is so damn fast. You know, we're trying to balance the scale with some good initiatives like yours and many others.
Look, in terms of that one, the NGO market is a very complex market. And when you have concerns, such as when people point fingers at structures of leadership, people just want one thing from leadership, whether be it in terms of the non-profit company that we are running, or be it the government, or be it in a company, they want to know that they are actually being listened to. And that if they have queries or abstentions or anything, that they those things are resolved. And leadership in our days just runs away from most of these things. And if I may share one story from you, we had a mass meeting in Tembisa of Tembisa citizens in Tembisa West about a year ago, about 12 months. And there was a guy named Sammy Mutsusi who actually wrote a book about the art of loving yourself. Mm. On how do you start loving yourself. And he says it all starts with you. You have to be the one who has that belief, that self-belief. Very good book, about 150 pages, a small book. And this person came back to us and said, you know what, after James and you came to address this year, we just saw another angle of life which we didn't know that existed. And I became an author, and I didn't even know that I could write a book. And now he's a motivational, inspirational speaker here in Gauteng.
Nice story.
Yeah.
And now he's inspiring people.
And now he's inspiring other people. So citizen by citizens for citizens, because everyone else will benefit if we put the country and its people first.
Citizens by citizens for citizens. And I guess every country needs this sort of thing right
yes.
now. But our country in particular, we need that unity, which we seem to only get when there's a big event happening like a World Cup. So we all rise to we unite on different government levels, we build stadiums, we get it all to work, and then after that we just go into depression again.
Look, in terms of that one, Adrian, in life there will always be conflict, whether be it between brothers or sisters, or between the races, or between, yes, any other thing. But the most important thing is not what we disagree on, but what we agree on. And at the end of the day, you see, when it comes, the fact is that when we're in a leadership show like this, we are trying to equip leaders to take each other, because we believe at Citizens ZA, or at least what I got when I got there, and I also took it as a belief of mine to say this is a tool and I need to run with it for the rest of my life, that leadership is learning. If you are willing to learn, then you are a leader. Learn how to learn, and then you become a leader, because obviously people will always need people in the forefront, and we can't all sit. I mean, I'm sitting on one chair here, you can't come now and sit on the same chair, that will be uncomfortable. So there has to be those people that lead, and there will be those people who are following. Because even now you've got a situation in South Africa, students are saying let's march, but now where are we marching to? Do we have a plan to where we are marching to? Because that would be the pertinent question. Bring the facts to the table. How are you saying fees must fall? What does the economic growth look like? I mean, you can't have universities producing 300,000 students next year, and then there's another 700,000 which is employed. Then next year we are sitting with 1 million unemployed graduates, but now we have as well perhaps 0% growth of the economy. You must have checks and balances. People have to start leading themselves. And South Africans, it's up to all of us to take the lead.
Louis?
I agree, Adrian. The politicians haven't helped in the sense that they've created so much expectations and entitlements. And if that gap between entitlements and accountability is rapidly growing. And the problem is that as this grows, people get less enthusiastic about things. I just want to mention that the attitude that our guest represents has a profound impact on one's personal motivation in life. Once you turn around and stop focusing on what's wrong so much and what you need to get from other people, it makes a dramatic change to you. You know, a smile starts coming. Your creative instinct starts evolving. It's so important to understand. If we want to be completely selfish, if I want to look after myself, then I should look after my mindset towards society around me. Am I part of the solution, or am I part of the problem? And sometimes we've got loud voices, but we are just stressing the problem and becoming more a part of the problem.
Look,
so we appreciate immensely what you guys are doing.
True. Louis, you see, you mentioned a very good point. Because now let us maybe make an example of having capital. So if I've got all the millions in the pocket and I don't have the food, how is the money going to help you when there's drought and all these things? Let's say you have got, you are the farmer and you have got the food. I'll still have to come to you. So in life, there's a link between human beings, and we can never break that link, whether by war or racism or hatred or religion. We cannot break that link. We are interlinked, and the way we interact says there will always be conflict, even between the same race or blood. But at the same time, we need to take that conflict and agree on what we agree on in order for us to be progressive society.
It's amazing, Arjun, that all the people we meet, great leaders, but those who really are doing something positive are not racist.
Yes. Because
somehow they've had that breakthrough experiences. They don't see race as the
problem.
They see mindsets as the problem.
Even tribalism. You see, I don't consider myself as a Swati man. Even when it comes to speaking with Xhosa, I can speak 8 South African official languages. Prat, Gabua, all these languages. So now, when I do that, when I meet with other individuals, I only see human beings. And that is the spirit we should all try to embrace. Because once you move away from tribalistic tendencies or racism and all those things, then you'll start to try find solutions for your fellow human beings. And we believe at Citizens ZA that the only country we are to become or to be destined for is the country we become today and decide that we want to become tomorrow.
But the point is that attitude has profound impact on you yourself. You know, that's important to understand. It brings about a behavioral change and your attitude and mindset change.
Changed behavior.
And that
in itself.
So the only thing really can change other people around us.
Yeah. Mzwandile Simelane, Citizens ZA Movement, General Secretary, really the operating man, making things happen. Well done. I want to share at the end, we have a Sibanye executive leadership thought to end it off with. And it's something that I tweeted this morning. The most important leadership development process is finding yourself. There's lots of ways we think we can develop leaders. But I'm beginning to discover more and more the most important leadership development process is finding yourself, who I really am. Only then can you discover and inspire others. So often we try as leaders to inspire others all the time. But gee whiz, find yourself. Find who you really are. How do I fit into this universe? And then it's easier for me to see the value in you as a human being, as an individual. And that's the essence of our leadership thought. Any comment on that?
You hit the nail right on the head. It starts with us.
Mm.
And it's our responsibility, as I said, to take the country as well as the world forward. Thank you, Adrian.
People get hold of Citizens ZA. I mean, obviously, there's social media. There's Google these days. You just type it in and there'll be websites. There'll be everything.
Yes, so the link is www.citizens.za.com. On Twitter, it's at CitizensZA. And Facebook is Citizens South Africa.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Good. And we'll be in touch. There's some big projects that that myself and some colleagues are dabbling with. That I think can make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Save the country, man.
Yeah, let's do it. One citizen at a time.
Yes.
Up next is our business masterclass for an hour. The first half hour is a conversation around e-commerce and internet marketing strategies. So that's our business skills conversation in association with USB Ed. And the second half hour, we interview an SME owner, one of the finalists in the Tsokosan Entrepreneur Competition. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.